go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we are joined by one of our go-to guys on matters involving our hemisphere, and notably the country that is at the moment in greatest crisis, and that's saying something, Venezuela. He is Russ Dallin. He covers these issues brilliantly, and for the benefit of all of us, as the president and editor-in-chief of the Latin American Herald Tribune, he is also the head of an international investment bank, Caracas Capital Markets. Always a welcome guest here, especially when there are big doings in Venezuela at the moment. Welcome, Russ. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Secretary Gaffney.
Let me ask you about this plebiscite that is going to be taking place this weekend, Russ. There is obviously considerable concern about the direction the country is headed. What is this plebiscite, and is it likely to have any impact on the future course of the country?
What it's really about is this plebiscite is being run by the opposition. The government is not participating in it. They're not sanctioning it. Indeed, I've started calling it the Voldemort vote. It's going to be on Sunday. And the reason I call it the Voldemort vote, because Conatel, which is their FCC, if you will, it has gone around telling everyone they're not allowed to mention it. So like the Harry Potter villain whose name must not be mentioned, it's the Voldemort vote. Nonetheless, it will be in 82 countries. Venezuelans will be able to vote in 82 countries, including in the United States. And as a matter of fact, Senator Cruz was inviting people in a video that was sent out, the Venezuelans in Texas, as part of the diaspora who have had to flee that decay of that country, to go out and vote. So the questions, they're asking three questions. It's a very simple ballot. But the basic question is, should there be a constituent national assembly, which the government is forcing through without having a referendum, and that vote will take place on the 30th. And that's what the opposition is trying to stop by showing that the overwhelming majority of Venezuelans do not want this constituent assembly.
Is there a chance that even if there is a overwhelming outpouring of opposition to the regime in this plebiscite, that it can deviate the trajectory Venezuela is on now? There's this next step in the abortion of democracy in Venezuela on the 30th. Talk a little bit about that and, again, how the plebiscite might or might not play into it.
It's the opposition's last gasp to show how much of the population is against this. The Venezuelan regime will not recognize it. They've actually just, to dilute the numbers of people that will be going out, the millions that will go out to vote, because they're asking, one, should we have this this constituent assembly, which the government did not ask? Secondly, should we have free and fair elections coming up? Because the government has delayed elections because they knew they would lose them. So that's the questions that they're asking them, basically. And the government is deathly afraid of anyone knowing the truth. So they've banned all stations from covering it and reporters from covering it, from even mentioning it on the web, as well as whatever, wherever else that may be reported. And they've also scheduled a trial run for their National Constituent Assembly elections on the 30th for the same day, so that the crowds that you see in the street will also be, the government will also be able to claim that, that came out to for the trial run of the Constituent Assembly elections on the 30th.
The cynicism and the just sheer determination to hold on to power in the face of the disaster that they have wrought in this country is not to be underestimated, which raises an interesting question. Talk a little bit about this Attorney General, Luisa Ortega, in Venezuela, picked by Maduro to be the top law enforcement officer of the country. But she simply has left the reservation, as best I can tell. What's going on there, and what might that portend?
Yes, well, she wasn't just picked by Maduro. She was actually picked by Chavez and very faithfully served the revolution throughout her years. And she was a young communist as a young woman. But she broke with the party and regime although she still considers herself in the party, but she's broke with the party line, shall we say, in March, when the Supreme Court decided to dissolve the National Assembly, that it was just a rump, that it wasn't doing anything, and they were overruling everything that they did, and that it was in contempt. And so they just decided, instead of just bothering to ignore every decision and overrule it, they've just announced that it was dissolved and shall know, you know, that the Supreme Court will forever take over its duties.
All right. So here we are, Russ. We've got the Attorney General of the country, now, as I understand it, prosecuting at least one of the top Chavistas in the cabinet, Hyman L. Trudy. She is apparently resisting efforts to displace her, including you were just telling me off air, the surreptitious introduction of her successor into the ministry, where she would get access to and presumably be able to make hay with the various documents that have been compiled in this corruption case. Does this, again, bear on what's likely to happen if this constituent assembly, in fact, essentially now replaces all other aspects of the constitutional order in Venezuela? Are we, in other words, looking really at the complete and utter meltdown of that country into a full-on communist dictatorship, deeply hostile, among others, to our country?
You hit the nail on the head, Frank, as you so often do. If the Venezuelan regime was finding some of these constitutional peculiarities and niceties, as they would refer to them, as being bothersome and troublesome, the National Constituent Assembly is above the Constitution. It is supra-constitutional, in other words. And so they will no longer have to bother by any constitutional or human rights guarantees. I mean, and already 112 people have been killed in the protests in the last 100 days, and that's when they're following the niceties. Attorney General Luisa Ortega had actually tried to prosecute some of the generals who were just gunning down these kids. I mean, as young as 14 and 12 have been murdered by the regime for just protesting. You're right. Now she's, because of the Odebrecht case in Brazil, Odebrecht testified that they sent over $100 million in bribes to Venezuelan officials. One of them, one of those millions of those bribes went to El Trudy's, who was then Secretary of, or Minister of Land and Transportation, for subways that were never built. But his mother-in-law and wife received millions of dollars. And it's all documented, but to try and stop that, they're trying to remove the Supreme Court. Honoring the regime, which is packed by the regime officials, is trying to dismiss her from her job, even though they don't have that power. That power lies with the National Assembly, but of course they're ignoring them. So much so that they've appointed her deputy, a woman named Catherine Harrington, who is on the OFAC list.
This is the U.S. government's list of sanctioned individuals, as I recall.
That's right. So she's a specially designated individual on the OFAC list, and they're trying to make her deputy so that when they get rid of her finally, she'll become the new attorney general. The attorney general has been resisting letting her even in the building and near any of those corruption files, but she actually tried to smuggle with an ally in the office, tried to smuggle her into the building in a suitcase in the trunk of a car, but she was caught and that employee was fired.
It must have been an awkward moment, needless to say, for the prospective deputy. Well, listen, Russ, we have to wrap it up, but I just wanted to say I appreciate extraordinarily your efforts to try to keep in front of the rest of us how these developments are unfolding and what their implications will be. Keep it up, my friend, at the Latin American Herald Tribune, and of course, your work at Caracas Capital Markets, and come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.